Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
I want to talk and combine MoneyWise and Vision Builders because we're coming into Vision Builders dinner this Friday night. And we need you to register today. We've got guys who have got tables of 10, tables of 20, tables of 25. I think Ryan Smith's up to 133 right now. He's got a lot of people coming anyway. And he said he just does it by ringing around and inviting people, and that's the way we do it. And bring your connect group, sit together. It's such a beautiful event in the calendar of our church every year. I want to talk about getting ready for the future. Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. Says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and rough ground shall become level, and rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. This is a command from God to get ready for the future. But this prophet is speaking while he's in a wilderness. And when you're in a wilderness, to try and see an abundant future can be difficult. It says, make way for God in the desert. Make way for God in the valley. Make way for God when there's a mountain. When we've got a valley, when we've got a mountain, when we've got a wilderness in our own personal world, it can be difficult to think about the future because the present valley and the present mountain and the present wilderness and the present desert can preoccupy your thoughts so that you lose any concept of a future. But you and I need to understand that God always has a future for you. God has been to the future. He's taken a snapshot and he brings it back and he says, your future is brighter than your present and better than your past. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, he says. If you prepare today, you'll be ready for the glory tomorrow without any shadow of a doubt. But sometimes in our hesitancy or difficulty in actually obeying God today, we're not prepared for what's coming tomorrow. Whatever God has got you doing now, even though it may be like a wilderness, even though you might be traveling through a very difficult moment, right here today, I want you to think about the future and a concept in your mind that it's going to be greater than anything you've ever seen. You know, when one of our staff members was compiling a video just this last week for a bit of history that we can show our movement around the world, she was saying, I've got a clip of you preaching in California in 1994, and you're saying, we got 52 churches right now, and I'm believing for 100. And that's way back then. But you know, God needs a dream in our heart to do exceedingly abundantly above. Now we have 540 churches. That's like 440 churches more than I was believing for. I guess that's about a 4,000% increase. The fact is, whatever you are believing and getting ready for, God is going to do better than what your greatest dreams are, what your greatest glorious mindset is, what your most incredible dream is. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you are asking or thinking. But you got to be asking or thinking something. And so what is your dream for the future? Could you write it down on a piece of paper right now? What are you getting ready for? I'm getting ready for 1 million worshipers in C3 churches all around the world. Right now, we have just over 100,000. I never thought that would be possible. But I'm telling you, in a few years' time, we will see 1 million worshipers in C3 congregations all around the world. We will also see 1,000 churches. We made a goal that we'd have 1,000 churches by 2020. Well, that's coming up pretty soon. We may make it, but if we don't, it doesn't matter. We will still have 1,000 churches. The goal's not on God. The goal is for us to be motivated. But I know this, if I hadn't set the goal, we probably wouldn't have even got the 540 churches, because a goal will actually get you moving and keep you motivated. So having the scripture here that's saying, prepare the road, make a highway, bring down the high places, lift up the low places, make straight the crooked and make wide the narrow. He's saying, I want you to start getting ready for what's coming up. In the Old Testament, there's a passage where Elisha is talking to a woman who is just about to lose her children. She's in a wilderness. She's in a really dark valley. Her husband was a man of God. He served the Lord, but he didn't have insurance. And for some reason, he went into terrible debt. And now he's died. And she has sold everything she can to pay the bank, to pay the creditor. But in those days, a legit way of claiming what was owed you would be to take the children as slaves. And that's what he was about to do. He'd written her a note saying, I'm coming down tomorrow. I'm going to pick up your two boys. They're going to be my slaves. And so she, in her deep, dark problem, doesn't run away from God or blame God or say, hey, we've been serving you for many years. What's all this trouble for? You see, your trouble can be the opportunity for a massive miracle. That problem you're facing, it could be the very thing that's going to trigger the release of the glory of God. If you'll get ready, if you'll go through the obedience to whatever God is speaking to you about, and make sure you're getting ready for your tomorrow. So she's got this problem, and her smart brain is in action. She says, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to go see the prophet. She says, What'll I do? The creditor's coming. It's like this looming, ominous cloud is coming towards her. She can see it. It might have been a medical prediction about your health. It may have been a financial prediction about what's going to happen. It could be a relational prediction, but it's coming towards her. And she says, I'm going to God. And so she gets before God. She says, what'll I do here? I'm not blaming God. I'm not accusing him. I'm not losing faith. I believe that somehow something could happen. And the prophet says, what'll I do for you? And that, my friend, is the beginning of a miracle. Not when you say, I know what I'll do, but when you say, God, what will I do? Even if you're a prophet, even if you've been doing it for years and years and years, to say, what will I do here, Lord? Learn how to ask God. Learn how to look to him and bring him into the picture. Learn how to make God first, because when you run ahead and don't ask him, inevitably, you're going to be asking him for salvation a little longer down the line. You're going to be asking him to help fix things up, redeem this mess up. He says, if you just asked me first, I would have said no. Don't do that. And honestly, God's no's are better than his yeses sometimes. And so he says, but he won't just say no. He'll say, try this way, go that way. And that's what this prophet did. He said, what'll I do? And then he gets another question. The answer from God is another question. The question is, what do you have? What have you got? She says, nothing. Her answer is pretty negative. She sold the fridge. She sold the TV. She has sold the cars. She sold the scooters. She even sold the guinea pig. She has sold everything that belongs to the kids. The house is empty. She got one little flask of oil left. And she stands thinking, well, I haven't got much at all. But most of us in this room would think we haven't got much at all. But you would be surprised what kind of miracle God can do with the little you've got. The little you've got is worth more in the hands of God than in any other hands. No matter what you view about the little experience you've had, the little areas of expertise you've got, the little practice you've had, everybody in this room has something. Everybody in this room has something you can bring to the Lord. Not one of us are without something that we can offer to him for service. So she did. She said, I got this little flask of oil. Then he gets the inspiration. He says, I want you to get ready for your future. I want you to go borrow vessels from all of your neighbors. Empty vessels, borrow not a few. So he says, I want you to start thinking bigger, bigger than you've ever thought before. You're in a wilderness, you're in a valley, you're in a desert, and it restricts your thinking. It makes you nervous. It lowers your faith. But right now, I want you to step out, young lady, he's saying to this woman, and I want you to not think small, because what you do today is going to influence your future. So she goes out and borrows all, well, she doesn't, she sends the boys out. Always good to get all the kids involved in the miracle. They can see God at work. So they all go out, they're borrowing all these empty vessels, and then the prophet, she didn't know what she was doing. Why am I doing this? Why would he tell me to go borrow all these empty vessels? I got a house full of empty pots. What is this about? Why is God doing? You might be left in confusion because God isn't always that free with his information about the future. He'd like you to stay in the world of faith. You may not understand why you're being asked to do certain things. You may not understand why he asked you to give certain things or why he is taking you through certain things. But let me tell you, whatever you are facing today, it's for your tomorrow. It's because the glory of God is on its way. Your future has the glory of God in it. It has majesty and it has miracles in it. It has power in it. It has an amazing plan in it. And he's saying, get ready today with many, many vessels. Don't think small about what you do today, because it's going to influence the level of your future. So then he says, start pouring. She starts pouring. And she's expecting it, well, it'll be done in about 3 seconds. Pour. 6 seconds, pouring. 60 seconds, pouring. The jug is filling up, taking a while. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. She's saying, where is this coming from? She had tapped into heaven. She had tapped into an eternal resource. Inside that little flask, there was forever. It could keep flowing forever. She went to the next bowl. She went to the next one, the next one, the next one. She kept pouring all day long. She should have hired a Japanese super tanker. She could have rocked that up next to her house, and today you'd see a skeleton holding a flask of oil there with oil pouring out of it. Because it wasn't going to stop until the last vessel was full. That is why God said, don't think small. Get ready for a big future. Get ready for an enormous future. Get ready for an abundant future. Get ready for a huge future. Get ready for everything that God has got for you. He is the God of abundance. He is the God of the overflowing cup. He is the God of more than enough. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, people. He is the God of heaven and earth. Not some miserly God. He says, please get ready. Please think big. My plans for you are not small, lady. He was speaking to her. He wanted to look after her for the rest of her life. With one little flask of oil. Go pay your debt. You and your sons live off the rest for the rest of your life. God solved a problem for her, but set her up for life. As well, out of that one extraordinarily difficult moment in her world, you might have the most extraordinarily difficult moment that you've ever faced in your world today. But I'm telling you, it's your opportunity for one of the greatest miracles that God is going to bring into your life. If you will come to him and say, what'll I do? Lord, I'm looking to you. You know, when we started this church, I only wanted a church of 500. I never knew we would get to planting churches all around the city and then around Australia and then around the world. I had no idea that was going to happen. But we just stepped out and did one thing. And because of that, we knew how to do it once. We did it again. What did I have in my house? A church planting experience. So I did it again. And then I didn't know we would have a Bible college that would graduate literally tens of thousands of students who serve God all around the world in C3 College. But we stepped out. All I wanted was a training class for our Connect Group leaders. I said, we're going to have a lot of cell groups. We need to train our leaders. We had a part-time night college. And suddenly, there's all these students there. And it was going so well. We said, we could go to let's make it a full-time one. God didn't even talk to me about that. But then somebody wrote me a letter and said, the Lord has been speaking to me to come to your Bible college. I thought, well, that's weird. God is talking to somebody to come to a Bible college that he hasn't even told me about, but we're just planning on doing. And then out of that, we started a School of Creative Arts for the worship teams that we were going to have. We didn't know we were going to need 1,000 worship teams all around the world. We didn't realize we were going to need thousands of pastors trained up in that college. Lord said, I want you to preach the gospel through television. I spent all the money we had, which was like $2,000 in the bank. I managed to get 2 lights, 1 Hitachi camera, which didn't even have the recording facility inside the camera. We had a cord that went out to a very big box, like as big as a Volkswagen. And then we televised, and I was preaching and to this one camera, and we were on at 4:30 in the morning in Wollongong. That was it. That was it. I didn't know we'd be one day preaching to 1 billion people around the world through television. I had no idea that you and I have been able to do that. The only reason we've done it is because you have put God first. The only reason we've been able to do that is because we have had a congregation that says, my life has meaning. My life has a purpose. And our life together has a purpose. We are in unity and one vision and one mind to plant the church, to build the church, to grow the church, to expand the church, and to reach lost people for Jesus. And when you said, first we give ourselves to the Lord, you put yourself in a position where you are an empty vessel, ready to be filled. When you realize that all of your resources firstly belong to Him, you put yourself in a position where you're ready for tomorrow. But if you're living by your own agenda, if you're living for your own kingdom, if you're living for your purposes, not His first, you're going to find that those things will actually fall over and you'll find yourself dissatisfied. You'll wonder why you're here on earth. You'll wonder what your purpose is. Your gifts and talents and abilities will be frustrated on the inside of you. But once you get God first in your life, everything else clicks into place. All the priorities in your world start to work together. When you look at a passage in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, it says, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Huh. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the Macedonian church. And he said, we've got this project for the church of Jerusalem. This church of Jerusalem is in trouble. And Jerusalem is where all the churches have come from. And she's going through a very difficult time, especially with her finances. And so Paul said, I'm going around all the churches and I'm going to have a project to bless the Jerusalem church. And that's where most of his teaching about giving comes from. And there's a lot of teaching about it. And when he's talking to them, he says, when we went to the Macedonians, we were anticipating that they'd be excited about the opportunity, but it was way more than that. They gave way beyond what we expected. They did far more than we anticipated. Their thinking was far greater than we had ever thought possible. They got as many empty vessels in that house as they possibly could. They got ready for their future. And he says, it was not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. When we get our priorities right, we understand what our purpose is. When we don't understand what our purpose is, abuse is inevitable. Have you ever seen somebody try to pull a screw out with a hammer? I mean, it rips all the wood, it does all that. Have you ever seen somebody use the wrong tool for the wrong purpose? That's called abuse. And oftentimes our lives are not being used properly because we don't understand what we're actually meant to be doing. But the way that we get to understand what we're meant to be doing is we give our lives to Him. He has the blueprint for our lives. And then the next thing is He starts to speak to us, which we can then obey because He's first. My resources are His. My time is His. My way of life is His. And so I believe there's times when we need to come back to that altar. You don't move away from God in one shot. Generally, it's one little step, then another little step, then another step backwards, another step this way. And I was talking yesterday with some cyclists. We went on a really early morning freeze ride. So cold, I'm still shivering. It was like I nearly lost all my fingers. And we're out there cycling. We came back and had a coffee and a muffin just to undo all the calories we had burned. And we're sitting there, and Laurie and Lena Saylor that were there, who are members in our church, and all their children. And I said to one of the guys there, I said, "That's such a magnificent family. I've known him since he was just an unmarried young teenage hippie. When I used to have some meetings in Kissing Point Road in 1975 at the Kissing Point Kindergarten there, and I was showing movies and preaching, and we were getting all these people saved, especially young hippies. And I remember him, and I won't dob in on him, when he was inside a combi, and they were still smoking, but I just went and dobbed, didn't I? Amen. What I didn't say is what they were smoking. But anyway, and we had to tell, hey, maybe not before church. And anyway, they managed to figure it all out. And he got married, and his brother, Michael, and Jeff, their friend who owned the combi, he plays the violin in chapel service today. And I said to them, I believe in C3 because I see the 40 years of long-term legacy and growth, three generations of people, their children and their children's children, that there's somehow a Christian lifestyle that is promoted here that is sustainable. I mean, I've met radical for Jesus people who are like a firecracker, go up and then flash and boom and then it's gone. And it's all like, whoa, thinking radical is emotional high and jumping around a lot or something. Listen to me, radical for Jesus is going for 40 years and not giving up. Radical for Jesus is turning up every weekend. Radical for Jesus is living your life for Christ. Radical for Jesus is keeping on going when you don't want to keep on going. Radical for Jesus is turning up on Sunday when you didn't want to turn up, when you wanted to sleep in because it's so cold. And you people obviously are radical for Jesus here this morning. You're in the house, you're worshiping, and you're giving God the glory. You guys are good. I love you. You're amazing. Matthew, thank you very much. That's kind. What'd you say? Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I'm just feeling wonderful right now because I'm looking at that clock and it says I've still got 12 minutes to go. Praise Jesus. Hope I got enough in here to fill it up. And I got about 30 more pages. I always have too much. Here. Seek first the kingdom of God. How do I know if I'm seeking God first? I look at my budget. Simple. Money-wise. If I'm getting $1,000 a week, 100 off the top belongs to Him. That's it. Once I've done that, everything else will get blessed. Then I know what I can afford and can't afford. Then I'm able to order my priorities. Rent, got to pay, got to have a roof, got to have some food, got to have electricity running, rent, food, utilities. It doesn't go $1,000, Netflix, movies, McDonald's, rent, whatever, and then down the bottom, whatever's left, God can have. There won't be anything left. First, seek the kingdom of God. If He is first, everything else will get blessed. Listen to me. It may not always be blessed. You may go through some really difficult times. I've been a tither all my life, and I've been through some moments financially that are disastrous, completely disastrous. And it's not like because you're tithing, just everything in your whole world is going to be perfect. But in those disasters, I've also found miracles. Just like I'm talking there. Don't start to rail on God because something went wrong. You lost a job or you had a downgrade in your pay or you didn't get the promotion or that kind of thing. Those are opportunities. Don't let the problem overwhelm your attitude. Let your attitude overwhelm the problem and say, this is an opportunity. Somehow that God is going to get me through this into the other side of this difficulty. And you will get through to the other side. All you got to do is hold on to Him. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How wonderful is this? This is the Lord saying, hey, just sit down and let me say this to you. I know you decided to follow me and put me first instead of racing after your house and your car and your all the new clothes and the internet special and all the expensive night outs and the trip to Bali. I know you said, okay, I'm going to make some sacrifice. I'm going to live for God, and it's going to cost me a bit. He said, but that's okay. I'm going to make sure you get all that stuff. All these things will be added to you. That's the promise from God in heaven. Listen, being spiritual doesn't mean that you're less human. And God loves your humanity. He loves the fact that you want a holiday in Bali. He loves the fact that you like to have a new car. He has no problem with any of that stuff. Some of you have never even thought of having a holiday in Bali, and now you are. Thinking the pastor's okay with it? Of course I'm okay with it. God is okay with it. He made Bali, amen. Not for long, just like a couple of weeks, and then you're back. And you know, the deal is, God is for you. He's not against you. He says, just get the priorities right. Get me in the number one position and click, 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 click. Everything else will fall into place. Your priorities reflect your values. And if you value God above all the others, you're going to find yourself in a beautiful place with all these things being added to you. All right. How do we make this move ahead? There's some things that we actually need to become deliberate about. In Philippians 3:7, Paul says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So all of us have heard the testimony of the guy who gave up drugs and gave up a 200 cigarettes a day thing and gave up meth and left a life of crime and all that. That's not what Paul is saying here. He's saying all the things that were gained for me. There were some really good things I had going for me in my life. But even those things, I put them aside. He says, and I indeed also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Let me give it to you in the message, Philippians 3:7-9. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things that I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ. Amen. Listen to me. When I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, that's nice and it's good for us. But the greatest thing that you will have is an unbroken relationship with Jesus. When nothing is getting in between you and Him, when nothing is more important than He is to your life. And intimacy with God, intimacy with Christ, not so that you know a lot about Him, but so that you know Him. There's not a greater thing, people, than to feel like Jesus is right there in your world with you. There's not a greater thing than to wake up in the morning in the presence of God, to have His presence in your house. If you seek Him first, He'll be there. Sure, He's got a lot of benefits that He brings with Him. All these things will be added to you. But I know this, that as you put Him first, He will turn up. And He'll mean more to you than anything else, so that even if you don't get the stuff, even if the dream doesn't come to pass, if I have dreams and wishes and goals and aspirations that don't even surface, I know this, I got Jesus in my life. I remember a scripture, a song that Andre Crouch sang, if heaven was never promised to me, it was worth just having you in my life. Although, wow, what words to sing. If you can draw near to Him and walk with Him every day of your life, you're going to find yourself living above your circumstances, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. I want to finish with one story here, and that is, in the Old Testament, there's a gentleman who is lost in the wilderness, and this guy is told by the Lord to start digging ditches, and the fact is, these ditches are, where is it here? I didn't actually put the scripture in here. I just wanted to tell the story. These are three kings, and they're in a desperate situation. There's no water anywhere in the land. It's a drought. And they decide they'll go looking for some water. They come to a place and they realize that there is an enemy, the Moabites. An army is going to approach them and try to take them down. A prophet from God comes and speaks to them and says, look, in this desperate circumstance, I want you to dig deep. I want you to dig ditches in this valley. And they didn't know why they were digging ditches. They didn't know why they were going to dig deep, but they started to. And as they dug, they're looking at one another saying, what are we doing this for? It'd be a little bit like the soldiers walking around Jericho, just walking, and they're looking at each other, what are we doing this for? What are we doing this for today when we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? They dig all these ditches, and they didn't know that about 30 kilometers away, the Jewish historian Josephus tells us, there was a thunderstorm. And it poured down water, but they couldn't hear it and they didn't see it. In the morning, when they came out, they saw this entire valley was full of ditches that were full of water, every one of them. When the sun came up, it looked red. The Moabites, 3 years earlier, had been in a situation with another army where they'd all attacked each other and nearly killed each other. And they are thinking, this has happened with the Israelites down there. They've all been attacking one another. God even used their psychology against them. So they rush in on the spoil only to find that all the Israelite army were fully armed, ready for battle, and they completely overcame their enemy. God solved two problems at once. They got water, which they didn't have before, and they defeated their enemy. I believe that in this meeting right now, those of you who are facing a drought, a wilderness, a difficult situation, that God is going to call us all over this next week to come before Him and rearrange our priorities so that building His house is first. And I know this, that not only will these things be added to you, but Jesus Himself will draw very near to us. We're going to find ourselves with two victories. What we didn't have flowing into our lives, and those things that are attacking us being overcome. Right here and right now, I believe that God can touch you. Let's all stand and reach out to Him for that touch of heaven to pour down on your life here in this service in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I believe without any shadow of a doubt that your Spirit will fall, that people's lives will be transformed. Here in this house today, I know that you've got us all on a united divine purpose, and that this divine purpose that you've put us on is to be accomplished by the stepping out, the faith, and the sacrifice of all of us together moving forward. And I'm believing that right now, those who are in difficult times in their individual lives would find themselves hearing a voice, hearing from God, understanding what their next strategy is. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for your deliverance, for your voice, for your miracle to come right here and right now. Listen, if you're facing a difficulty that you feel like it's overwhelming you, it's swamping you, Could you lift your hands right now? Just lift it up high. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I know that right now, people who have their hands raised in this building, and even those watching on the internet, will find the power of the Holy Spirit breaking through every wall, breaking through every barrier, but not just doing it alone. Lord, you'll give us strategies by which we can lay down our lives, by which we can follow the purpose of God instead of our own, by which we can establish you first and everything else second. Lord, here today, we give ourselves to God. I want you to all to pray a prayer with me right now. Can you say this? Dear God in heaven, I give myself to you. I surrender my life to you. I hold nothing back. You are the Lord of my life. I have committed myself to you. I will trust in you and I will obey you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.